It's been important for us to maintain that communication and that collaboration with our partners in public service, with the town council and the town part of government. And I think we've had very open and transparent process with the entire community this budget cycle. I think we've been.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. There was a school committee meeting last week, so we're doing our chalkboard chat today, and we've got two Daves. So Dave Callahan, our school committee chair. Dave, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for the invitation, Steve.
And the vice chair of the school committee, Dave McNeil. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Steve. Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome. It's good to have the Daves together, you know?
You know, that was when we were campaigning, that was a big selling point. You know, you're getting two Daves for the price of one.
Exactly. Two's better than one, you know what they say.
Definitely. And there's some old joke that Steve sounds like Dave, so I could go pass as Dave, but Dave's not here, right? No, we don't go that way. So anyway, school committee meeting last week, you passed the budget.
We did. Yeah, that was really the big ticket item, because we just kind of coming off the heels of our last big meeting where we did the open hearing and the line by line reading. And so, yeah, now we had the budget, you know, $81 million kind of presented in front of us. And everybody still had an opportunity to chat and talk about it. But at the end of the day, passed unanimously with support for Superintendent Jaguer's budget.
Right. Yep. And then you made your statement at the town council meeting to effectively, was that kind of the verbal letter that supposedly was required?
That's exactly it. Yeah. This, Jamie Helen laid out way back in like May. It was like the last night of the budget hearing to say that, to really kind of formalize any discussion about an override, they kind of wanted a letter from the schools. And so, Dave and I worked on drafting that letter, and then we read it publicly to town council.
Right.
Really just to kind of state, because at the time, Jamie's, the town administrator's budget book and narrative wasn't yet out.
Mm-hmm.
But really just to kind of say that we're hoping that the town council can kind of fully support and fund this budget, because it's a big one. We're asking, it's a 12% increase, 12.9% increase. And so, but we're asking them to kind of do what they can to fully support this, kind of up to and including putting an operational override on the ballot for the rest of the community.
Exactly. It's been important for us to maintain that communication and that collaboration with our partners in public service, with the town council and the town part of government. And I think we've had very open and transparent process with the entire community this budget cycle. I think we've been very clear in terms of the financial challenges that we're facing on the school side of things, in terms of where we are with our revenues, and where we'd like to be in terms of what we'd like to provide. And I think we being very upfront with, 81.3 million in terms of the budget that we're approving and the services that we would like to provide and have packed into that, but also the realities of the cost drivers behind that. I mean, as we've detailed over the past few months, the cost drivers alone are more than the typical increase that we get. And I know, Town Administrator Helen has also detailed the cost drivers on the town part of government as well. And a few months back, we had that joint budget subcommittee meeting that brought everything together to kind of get on the same page. And our budget approval process, as well as Dave and I going before the town council with our request to fund completely by whatever means is necessary the budget that we've approved, is part of that collaboration.
And at least from kind of the sense of the community, I've heard a lot of comments around how we got here, but not really any significant details or questions around why what we can do now that we're here, other than we can't afford it, which I know that's an issue. It's going to be no matter what the number, if there is a number, if there's not a number, there's major issues. If there is a number, it's going to be an affordability piece for somebody, for sure, never mind for most of us.
Yeah, it's not it's not easy decisions. It's not, we're drafting the letter, we're kind of joking, like, this isn't what we hoped to be doing when we first started kind of running so many years ago. But it's, really kind of this is that juncture where, you know, the rubber's meeting the road.
Right.
And because when we kind of put that letter to town council, like I said, Jamie's numbers hadn't yet come out. Now they have. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing, you know, we asked for a $9.3 million increase.
Right.
And through the town administrator's, you know, recommendation, it was able to be an allocation of $3 million, which is fantastic. He even wrote it's tied for the highest allocation mm-hmm. in I think in the town history, certainly in his, you know, his time here,
recent history, yes.
Yeah. And so it's fantastic, but it still leaves us with a $6.3 million
significantly gap.
And so it's a conversation that the whole community needs to kind of get involved in, because it's just a matter of, do we want to try to raise, you know, revenue to be able to kind of fund that, or are people willing to accept $6.3 million in cuts to the services to education?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they are, you know, to be entirely honest, you know, it's rare that a parent ever says, can you not do this? You know, can you,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, my kid only has 20 kids, you know, in the, you know, other class friends in the classroom, maybe, kids, right. maybe yeah. let's add it to 25 or higher, or, you know, are they willing to kind of pay more for football or for some of the athletics? And it's difficult conversations, but it's conversations that we're all going to start to be having over mm-hmm. the next coming weeks.
Yeah, and speaking specifically to that, the 24th, so Wednesday the 24th, in my recorded history, the only last time there was a joint town council and school committee meeting was early in 2008. So it's been a long time since you had a joint meeting, and you do have one, and clearly on a valid topic. This is going to be a significant discussion.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's part of this overall process of all of us as a community getting together to understand what our really our mutual needs are and who we want to be as a town, and what we want to offer on the services from on the school part of government as well as the town part of government.
Mm-hmm.
I think it shows just how seriously you know we're taking this on the school committee, but also how seriously town council is taking this, that we really want to just all be together and have that conversation in front of the whole community in a forum where we can just all be open and transparent and say exactly, you know, this is where we're at, and you know, this is where we would like to go as a community, but ultimately that's all up to the voters mm-hmm. in terms of what we want to be.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a voter discussion decision, and yeah, there'll be some communication, obviously, as the, if yes or no, assuming yes, when will be mm-hmm. the next key discussion, and then what will be the number, those three pieces, and then assuming it's sooner than later, there's going to be a whole lot of other communications coming out. If I recall, you're already developing kind of, if we don't get the 6.3 support, this is what it could look like. And I'm assuming the town is doing something on their side as well.
Yeah, because one, we, you know, Lucas, you know, we have to ask of Lucas to put together that model, to figure it out, because mm-hmm. we can't wait until, you know, the day after the election or, you know, the ballot question
sure.
to start figuring out how many teachers are going to have to get laid off, how much revenue is going to have to be increased with user fees. Like, he has to be able to kind of project out mm-hmm. that model ahead of time, but it's also helpful to the community to kind of be able to have that full picture too.
Right. And I think from your first budget, you already had four scenarios, and if I recall, at least one of them was fairly close to, you know, granted you kind of look chunks of percents short, but one's fairly close. Now, whether that actually meets out in terms of whatever the latest discussions are, but it doesn't sound like it's starting from scratch. He's already done some work preparing for that.
Yes, no, I got full faith and confidence in him that he'll be able to, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of pilot multiple different planes as they're yeah. going. But I think too, when you talk about like those four different models, because poor guy, we asked him to come out. You know, it's one thing to do one budget, and mm-hmm. he came out and did four different budgets of mm-hmm. the. You know, and this one kind of went right in the middle. This was considered like the stabilize and partially restore.
Right.
So it's a copy and paste from what we currently are doing today, what we're going to keep doing tomorrow, but it adds in some of the cuts that were left out and kind of left on the chopping block last year.
Yeah, primarily the middle school, after school programs, et cetera.
Exactly. It's one of the biggest ones. And that's something we heard about just at the last meeting.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And we've heard constantly from a lot of community members about just how valuable it is to be able to have these after school clubs, these enrichments, opportunities for kids after, you know, after school and the middle school level. But one of our colleagues had mentioned when we talk about like those four different budgets that this, you know, this this $81.3 million budget isn't that, you know, George always talks about like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, Lucas did start to kind of put together a Thrive model that did ask for even further, you know, allocation from the town, from the taxpayers, and even more programs that would be able to be brought back in. And so this isn't that.
It's not quite. And I think we've talked before, and I think you would agree that this is at least steps towards, you've already talked about kind of the porch of the graduate, and you've reinforced, or at least through some of the workshops, reinforced the concepts around what it's going to take to get to a portrait of graduate. Now it's just a matter of quantifying what those line items, how does that mean in terms of people, resources, programs, et cetera, et cetera. So you're close, but yeah, that's still another effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Lucas and the whole admin team, they did a great job all throughout this budget cycle to kind of like visioning out where we could go and what we could offer as a school district. You know, if we do get to that Thrive model with, you know, different early college offerings, different certifications, and different, you know, potential career paths and partnership opportunities with you know, police, fire, EMS, like the and those sorts of things, and as well as exploring other options for potential revenue such as childcare, and, you know, being able to have all these, you know, innovative options that we could offer in house, and that would be part of the part of that visioning. But again, you know, that's not where we are. And I think it also bears repeating. You know, Dave mentioned that, you know, the budget that we have approved from, you know, the town minister's budget, it's, you know, $6.3 million less than what we approved, and that was, you know, part of our restore and improve a little bit. But, you know, it's also $4.3 million less than just level service, and that's I think that's really important to keep in mind as well, that, you know, no matter what, if the financial picture doesn't change before the start of the fiscal year, you know, things are going to have to get cut, and other things are going to have to change as well, just to keep our head above water and do the exact same thing. So we're not even talking about improving, we're just talking about treading water.
Yeah, we've spent time in a prior episode, if I recall, speaking around some of those terms, like the level service, the level budget, the use of the revolving funds to clarify some of those points. But the key is, and it's a symptom of the real issue we have, and it's not just Franklin.
Yeah.
Other communities have it as well. And to the extent that inflation is clearly one of the bigger factors affecting multiple aspects of it, you know, pie in the sky, if we could at least index, you know, the Prop 2.5 to some sort of a cost of living inflation factor, that would solve everybody going forward. But that's like, you know, really pie in the sky. That's not likely going to happen either. So that comes back to, we got to figure it out.
You know, and it's tough. You know, it's not easy. But I think one of the, you know, Dave had mentioned like that new revenue, you know, source, and other ones too, that like we've also talked about, like one of the other items that we had was about the school choice and about letting kids from outside kind of come into Franklin, because there is, it's like $5,000 that, you know, the town gets for each kid. And one, you know, Lucas had kind of come out and he said he doesn't currently endorse that plan. And, you know, you might say, well, if we can get any way that we can get money, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if we're talking five grand, then let's do it. But it's at the end of the day that we're just not in a stable enough position to even be able to kind of go and try to get extra revenue sources.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, like the school choice, or like some of the daycare programs that some other schools do, that I think, you know, this is Paul Griffith is often talking about this too, that there's so many other ways that we could expand if we're able to have the money to invest in.
Yeah.
Right.
I know he spoke about there was like two positions that we're trying to add in the special education department, that when you look at, by having these in-house programs, how much money we've saved, it's, you know, it's about $100,000 investment that would save $200,000 from out-of-district placement.
Correct.
And so it's a I mean, you look at it, any other model, mm-hmm. you say, well, that's of course we're going to go, we're going to do that. But when we're in a position where we don't even know if we can continue to have the same level of service that we do right now,
yeah.
that it's tough to kind of grow and expand, even though it's going to end up saving the taxpayers money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also tied in with the facility planning process, right? Because clearly at some point in time, and I'm trying to remember, it was probably at least 6 or 8 years ago that we stopped school choice. It may have been more than that, but clearly school choice had been here for a while and we had the capacity. And then the capacity started drying up because our enrollment had peaked out. We had the extra modulars, et cetera, but the students were already here. And once, from what I understand, once they come in, they're here until they graduate.
Yes, you're committed. Yes.
You're committed. So, yeah, you can get $5,000 as kind of a transfer fee. And granted, we're not getting the full, student per pupil expense. But it's something, and it's more of an incremental payback because we've already got that infrastructure embedded. And if we get an extra space, well, we don't necessarily need the full 16K, 17K, whatever the number's going to be. The five certainly helps us, so we can take that. But to the extent that you've got the moving part in terms of what is our real facility need for us to go forward, that is unknown at this point. You may have a better idea May, June, from what I understand. But yeah, at this point, we can't do that.
Yeah, and that is something, like this. It started with the space needs, and then sure. to redistricting, and then now this comprehensive facility assessment. But we are trying to look at that and trying to, not to belabor, the point either. To try to make a decision to see, where exactly, based on enrollment, based on the facilities and the infrastructure that we have, what's the best way to educate kids mm-hmm. for the next 10 years. And so we are going to continue to move forward on that. We may actually... I think we're Dr. Locker, who's been spearheading
yes.
a lot of these workshops, talking about educational visioning and portrait mm-hmm. of a graduate, was expected to have a report to us, hopefully over the April vacation period, right around now,
yep.
that we might be able to start reviewing and kind of getting out to the community, hopefully within the next week or two. Yes. Don't hold me to that. I haven't seen it myself, but we're trying. We're as Dave, as you mentioned too, with everything, with this whole process, just trying to be as transparent as possible to say, we're looking, at a lot. We got a lot of spinning plates that mm-hmm. we're trying to keep spinning, but at the same time, trying to show the community everything that's going on, and so there's nothing, behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to say, Dave and the whole subcommittee, they've been doing a fantastic job with this facilities work. It's a long process, mm-hmm. and as you just alluded to, it's stemmed from other steps that were taken from preceding school committees that were way before us.
Two or three, at least.
Exactly. But because it's such a big decision with so many moving parts, and yes, it absolutely has budgetary implications. Yes. But the purpose of the work they're doing right now is to really ask this specific question of what is the best way to structure Franklin Public Schools for the foreseeable future, and then to get that information to make sure that we have the best informed decision for us and the best information for the entire community to understand what is going into that decision. And so it's been great work that they've been doing. We look forward to seeing what the results are, and then ultimately making a decision based on that. Because we do understand that certainly is a factor going forward to the budget. But we just want to make sure that we're making the right decision given just how big the implications for it are.
Yeah, and as I kind of understand the process and helping share for the listeners. The decision clearly will require some timeline for implementation as well. Mm. So even though you get a decision, it's not likely that all of it would be implemented in September. Maybe some aspect will, but it sounds like most of it's going to be, determining at least, quote, the long-term plan. This at least is, you've got the portrait of graduate. These are how many buildings we have. This is how much it's going to cost. This is what we can do. And this is what it's going to look like for the road.
And that's exactly it, because one of the big things that that we've seen over the past couple of years is that there'll be like the closing of Davis Thayer, and then the kids moved over to Keller, and that kind of caused some space issues over there, which then kind of brought about the redistricting. And we really wanted to be able to sit down and say, here's what Franklin schools you know, might look like for the next 10 years.
Sure.
And so, you know, what we can kind of, because even some of the chats has come up, we have like Mike D'Angelo from Facilities, fantastic guy. And he's kind of brought up the notion of like, well, you know, building a new school building and just how long that, you know, I mean, that's a 10, 15 year project. And, but that, you know, it's something where it's like, all right, if what would happen over the next 10 years? And you know, is that something that's out there in the ether? We want to be able to make it so that way it's not just kind of one decision that leads, where we kind of go and we jump and we see what happens. We want to be able to say, all right, we're going to make this decision to lead to this outcome, which will then allow us to more easily make this next decision and kind of so on and so on and so forth for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, hopefully well surpassing our time on the committee. but just this long-term visioning goal for Franklin Schools.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot involved. A lot involved. Yes. Thank you for all the work you do on our behalf.
Of course. But, so the next big one, though, is April 24th, where we have that joint budget with town council. And I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be great. Even just, you know, when we presented the letter, where, you know, we're there at the end of the meeting, and there was one or two questions from the councilor comments that they had specifically about the schools. And it was great. In that moment, I was able just to kind of stand up and answer, you know, Councilor Parker, he had one question. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think everybody has a lot of different questions, and there's, I think it's going to be a great opportunity to kind of pull everybody in together so that, you know, from the schools, we can kind of, you know, go and say, well, what about this? Or what, you know, here are some questions and get answers ourselves in real time. And hopefully our counterparts can do so as well. And just for the whole community to be able to say, you know, everybody's got different questions, and sometimes we kind of get siloed into our own audiences.
Right.
And I think this is just kind of breaking down all those walls and saying this is for the entire community, because it's, at the end of the day, it's a whole community thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's the schools that we're asking, you know, for that large money, when you kind of look at, you know, the town administrator's report, you see so many other projects that aren't being funded or have to get scaled back.
He's got a fairly healthy wish list.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know he's complained because the counselors respectfully keep coming to him, and the wish list is getting longer and longer.
Yep, no, it's true. And exactly to Dave's point, like, and all those, everything on that wish list, I mean, all those things affect and impact Franklin School families. So we're all on the same team here.
Way or manner.
Exactly.
And he said DPW certainly touches every one of us in one way or another.
Of course, yes. It's all one community, and that's why, you know, like exactly what Dave said, we're looking forward to next Wednesday to, you know, have this conversation, make sure that, you know, we're collaborating, communicating, that we're all on the same page, and that ultimately, you know, Franklin residents get to decide, hopefully sooner rather than later, what the near and long-term future for our community is looking like.
Yes, for sure.
And then also with that meeting too, change of venue, you know, from the normal, it won't, it'll be over at the Franklin High School auditorium.
Yes.
And I believe we had confirmation maybe at the last town council meeting where they said they will have a Zoom and online option.
We're actually doing a walkthrough with Dr. Rogers tomorrow with Pete and myself to work with some of the other facility technical staff to make sure we've done broadcasts from there before. Clearly, we want to make sure everything's geared for this one so that we can do a la the chambers with the same technology type setup. So that, yeah, it'll come off as seamlessly, we hope, we're planning, it'll come off as seamlessly as possible. Because it's going to be an important meeting, but at least instead of being crowded in the session in the town council chambers when you could fit maybe 40, 50, maybe 60, 70 squeezed in there, 800 and something in the auditorium. 842 is the number I heard, yes.
And so, yeah, we welcome everybody within the community if you're able to come on down and join us. But if not, yeah, kind of hop online or catch the broadcast will be on YouTube as well.
Broadcast will be YouTube. It'll be on the cable. So Verizon or Comcast, assuming they've subscribed that way. Zoom, theoretically, as well, should work in there. So, yeah, we'll have the standard multiple avenues. And then I'll record as well, so we'll have a digital audio recording available later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, please come one, come all. It's going to be an important conversation. And, you know, as you mentioned last Tuesday when voting on the budget, still, this isn't the end. We're still right in the thick of it. So, you know, please come next Wednesday, but also stay tuned to the Finance Committee budget hearings, Town Council budget hearings, and everything else in regards to the process.
Yeah, at least in terms of the rest of the timeline, as far as we know it, from what Chair Mercer has said, May 1st council meeting will be when they would decide the if, yes or no, when, and amount.
Mm.
And then following, so May 6th, 8th, and 4th, and 15th are the FinCom hearings in May. And then the 22nd and 23rd are the town council hearings,
mm-hmm.
of which I believe schools are on the second of the two nights. Schools are on the third of the three FinCom hearings. Even after kind of getting the feedback on the 24th, there's still going to be some discussion in terms of this is how. So even if somebody does propose this is what it might be, there's still discussion that can still get changed along the way. So stay tuned. It's going to be an evolving scenario for a while until
absolutely.
Once we determine yes or no, there will be a vote. Then when? And then what? And then we'll find out.
Yeah, so a lot, lot of conversation still to be had, but I looking forward to the next couple of weeks, months, however long it's going to be, as this issue continues to evolve before the ink is finally settled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then living with the aftermath, whatever that is.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking time to share with the listeners and the voters. Real voters, making sure that they do come out and be informed for whenever it is, assuming there is indeed a vote determined. Because I think, from my point of view, it should be. I think if there will be at some point, a question is going to be when, now or later. So we'll see. But thank you again.
So thank you very much, Steve, for having us.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Thanks just for everything that you do as well. You know, like, just, I mean, the time and commitment that goes into this, just we talk about, like, all the different ways and channels that the 24th mm-hmm. is going to be available. So thank you as well, and thanks to all the listeners for listening in and kind of continuing to stay informed.
Yeah, and while I have fun doing it, there is the studio staff that helps me behind the scenes as well. So thanks to them. And final reminder for the listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.